Welcome into DC On Screen, episode 325. We're about to get super spoilery on The Flash 313, Attack on Gorilla City. To recap, I'm David C. Robertson, this is my co-host Jason Goss.
Hi.
To recap, Harry has been captured by Grodd on Earth 2, so Barry, Cisco, Caitlin, and Julian set off to rescue him. Barry demands Jesse Quick stay behind to help Wally protect Earth 1. There's initially some tension there between her and Wally, but in the end they work it out and Jesse realizes, with HR's help, that she's prepared to stay on Earth 1 with Wally. On Earth 2, the gang immediately gets kidnapped, and it appears Grodd needed Barry to defeat Solivar for him in a gladiator-style battle. Barry does, but refuses to kill Solivar because humans are peaceful. Grodd, who had promised the gang refuge, betrays them and promises instead to kill them to make a point. With few options left, Caitlin freezes Barry just enough to make him appear dead so that Grodd will lose track of his dampening and pull him out of the cage. Barry promptly warms up and saves everyone, including Harry. They make a run for it and vibe back to Earth 1. But lo, the forward-thinking Grodd had a backup plan, as it appears Gypsy is under his thumb and ready to open the doorway for a gorilla invasion of Central City, fulfilling yet another prophecy. I wanted to see Gorilla City.
I did.
I saw it.
I did.
I think I may have been more impressed with the Justice League Unlimited version of that.
Probably, but... I mean, it costs a lot less to make that expansive.
I don't know. They could just rework a lot of Star Labs sets to make that. I get it. They were wanting to go for something cool.
I liked what I got. I felt like they only had so much. I mean, this felt like a very effects intensive episode. Like, it felt like they poured a lot of money into this one, and it looked pretty damn good.
It did.
Like, that gladiator fight was solid.
And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we kind of come back to it later, and because Grodd has taken over from Solivar, like, now it becomes a really way more technological experience.
Yeah, probably.
That's what I'm assuming will happen. I mean, can we all just agree that we want monkeys flying around on hovercraft?
I think we can. I think we can safely agree on that, yeah. I'm not even going to let everyone vote. We're just going to go with it.
Right. loving Julian. He's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you know, the real usefulness of having a new team member, is like he's as fascinated as he should be of the concept of like the multiverse, and you're going to a city made of gorillas.
Mm-hmm.
Barry's trying to brush him off. just a couple days, you'll cover me, right? Like, city full of gorillas.
Are you going to the Planet of the Apes?
Yeah.
No, it's just a city. It's just a city. Are you going to the Planet of the Apes?
Yeah. Oh, and he shows up later. It's one of the great moments. Harry finally wakes up and it's like, Snow, Barry, Cisco, Indiana.
Yep.
And great callback. I knew that you and I did not get Barry out of that mirror when he finds out about her powers.
Mm-hmm. Always loving the mention of Bloodhaven, and it comes in a week where a Nightwing solo movie has been announced, so that's fun.
Yep. I mean, you realize we got Tom Cavanaugh as three different characters this week.
Yes. I was very pleased with his Grodd.
I was happy with it.
Very, very pleased.
Like, it just bordered on being a little silly sometimes, but it was detached and odd, but didn't quite take me out of the moment. I thought he did a good job with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure the show makes sense.
This episode?
Yeah.
It's completely botched.
Yeah, it seemed botched.
if you're going for the same thing I was thinking, man, if you already had Gypsy, what the hell's the point of all this?
Well, he still needed Barry to defeat Solivar.
Gypsy could defeat Solivar. She's beaten Barry. She could literally pop That's up to point. Solivar, vibe him somewhere else, problem solved.
Meh.
Like,
meh.
Cisco could have taken out Solivar. They're vibers. This is like nothing for them. That's why she was sent as a mercenary, like a, you know, capture and kill artist, is she could just pop up behind people and grab them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I forgot about Gypsy having those powers. I don't know why I forgot about it, but I did somehow. I wanted to make it work. My thoughts about why it was botched was more to do with, like, you know, how did they know that Grodd was just going to drag him out of the cage with him if he was dead? What does that matter? Just leave him in the damn cage.
They said that the I figured it had more to do with the dampening, and the pulling him out of the cage was just a sidebar. that kind of look kind of, you know, cool.
Well, if he doesn't, if he doesn't well, he, do that, then the whole plan is stupid.
No, well, no, there's no, no point. He could vibe out of the cage. If he could, you know, phase out of the cage. The problem was like Grodd was dampening their powers. So as soon as soon as he let off the dampening, he'd have been fine. He could just pop out of the cage, no problem. So they drop a line early on where he's like, "I don't think it's the cage. I think he's dampening our powers." They just They just needed to distract Grodd from thinking that he needed to dampen Barry for a second, and they were good.
Yeah, but Caitlin and Sisko still have powers.
He didn't. No, no, no. They didn't. Sisko didn't use any of his powers to do this, and he didn't know Caitlin had powers, so he wasn't dampening her. Last time Grodd saw Caitlin, she was just Caitlin. She wasn't Killer Frost yet.
Gotcha. Okay. And I guess same thing for Sisko.
Yeah.
All right. I still think it's dumb that he would drag him out of the cage.
That was just kind of an extra shot, I figured. It's like they just wanted an opportunity to show the pile of bones where apparently they just tossed fallen gladiators.
Mm-hmm.
The pile of completely dry bones with, like, no muscle still on them. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It was so intentional, it almost seemed like it was a point. Like, it was a plot point that had to happen. And I was like, eh, what's the point of this?
I just don't think there was a point to it. I mean, I thought it was a fine shot and a fine thing to do, and it looked good to have him drag him across and flap him on the ground like that, but I don't think it was necessary.
Yeah, seems like a waste of money to me.
Yeah, if I got it right, though, everything else explains itself without him dragging him out of the cage.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't think they said that, so I'm not sure the writers know that he didn't need to drag him out of that cage.
Yeah. I don't know.
Whatever.
What I do know is, like, here's the thing. I enjoyed the hell out of the episode. It's just, I can't make sense of Gypsy. And this is, I'm begging you, anybody, make sense of this for me. Why did they, if they had Gypsy, why did he need to go through pulling in, like, Team Barry?
Mm-hmm.
Why did he need to hijack Carrie? All that. And I'm just assuming we're going to get a backstory as to how the hell he got himself a Gypsy to begin with. But, you know, so I'll put that on the back burner. I just want to know, like, he dropped the line about Father told me to, you know, to always have a plan. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It makes it seem like he always had the backup plan of someone who could do everything he needed to do.
Right. And he also had a fair indication that Barry was probably faking it somehow.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of, is maybe this is it, but, he needed Barry to defeat Zolivar. And even with Barry's nice little speech about, like, which is why I'm sparing your leader, we call it mercy. Even with all that, they were still frightened because mm-hmm. this little man came in and beat up their, you know, their big old Zolivar.
Mm-hmm.
So they were still scared of the humans. And that was part of why he wanted them there. I get that. But Gypsy's human, and she would appear to be pretty damn scary, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think even that purpose is still filled. I just don't get why we needed Team Flash on this one.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I want someone to make that make sense for me. If anyone can, I will welcome it.
Yeah, it does seem like a lot of trouble to capture Harry and lure them there because he knew that they would come
mm-hmm.
to another Earth.
Mm-hmm. Which seems easier than trapping someone like Gypsy.
A little bit.
I mean, how did he get her?
I mean,
I forget where HR's from. Is it like
maybe his backup plan? Well, yeah, HR's from 19.
Is it 19?
Yeah.
So that's her home base, too. Well, I mean, he doesn't have any Vibers on Earth, too, does he? Like,
you know,
like Vibe.
I don't think so. I don't know.
They killed Cisco Ramon from Earth 2.
Unless it's Earth 2 Gypsy.
Maybe. That's a legitimate point. Now, that would make sense for me. This would be great. All right. This would be good. That's Earth 2's Gypsy, and she doesn't know she has powers yet. Or she doesn't really know what she can do. So he just captured some girl that really doesn't have any powers. That would make sense for me. That would fix everything. Like, he's going to get in her head and show her what she can do, and then have her
mm-hmm.
have her take him over.
He know about Gypsy?
I don't know how he would know about her. That would be a whole other thing.
Wouldn't fix everything, then.
Harry's wristwatch? Harry's meta detection skills? Or his meta detector thing?
I mean, yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Or if she was on the team. If she was on the team that went with Harry to Africa.
But then it would just be weird luck that she happens to be a latent meta.
I mean, not if Harry knew she was a meta and took her with him in case they needed to vibe out.
Yeah, but that wouldn't involve, like, Grodd makes it seem like it was his idea to have her there.
Well, yeah.
Or maybe he just, you know, saw the potential in her once he saw her and went, ooh, good backup plan.
Yeah, that happens.
But I don't think, you know, Harrison Wells would be particularly proud of him stumbling backwards into a backup plan like Gypsy. I don't think Father'd be proud. Father'd be like, I guess it's better to be lucky and good, isn't it, buddy?
Father would see the value.
Guess so.
Yeah.
It's amazing, though, for a show I still enjoyed this much, to have this many problems with what's happening with it. I'm still looking forward to the next episode.
Oh,
mostly
yeah.
Mostly because they've done shit like this before, and we've thought, what were you thinking? That was ridiculous. Why do you stand next to the portal backwards? And there was a reason, and it was good.
Yeah, they fixed it. It was good. So you never know when they're going to fix a thing.
Yeah. it's kind of funny. I've started to almost trust the idea that if the writing is particularly poor at any given point, wait for it.
Right?
I mean, it's one thing to just have a bad line here and there. I mean, everybody does that. But, I mean, God, I've got paragraphs of bad writing in my own personal storage. But to do something intentionally bad, like the classic standing back with your back to the portal shot that I'm referencing here, is they gained a lot of faith from me after they fixed that. Because, I mean, man, everybody we knew, like, we had people writing in going, what the hell with it? No, what Flash is better than that. Like, I don't know. I know. I don't know what happened. Like, we were flabbergasted. Charles said something about a don't stand next to a portal when you're holding a Cialis football. Thought that was pretty good.
You talked about the writing.
I was all like, have they never seen Deep Blue Sea?
my brother-in-law Spencer has a podcast called Pursuit of the Trivial, and he and his brother Colin they did an episode a couple days ago, and they were talking about whatever the Robert Heinlein quote is about to be a man you have to do. It's like a list of things, like set a bone, plan an invasion. There are all these things, like all these things that make you like a well-rounded man, and one of them, and they were going down the checklist and trying to decide if they've done something comparable to it, and then, sort of in a competition. And one of the things was pitch manure. Spencer goes, I don't know, Colin, have you ever pitched manure? And I thought, if he asked me that question, I would say, I've pitched a few bad comedy sketches.
Oh, God. Yeah, I've actually done that one. That was, this is sad. Playing Little League Baseball, like, you'd run out of practice spaces around town. So one of them was, like, a cow pasture. So we had to go, like, clear it out before we could go practice. Bunch of boys out there with shovels, just trying to get there, their practice on.
That's about when I'd quit the team.
Yeah, for the love of the game, Dave.
I have no love of the game, though.
I know.
That's gonna do it for me. What do you think?
I got two good lines I want to pitch.
Okay.
Well, actually, and one more concern. Just bear with me. Now. Early on, they're talking. Barry and Iris are talking, and Joe just comes up. Y'all know Wally can hear you, right? Sorry, Wally. And the way they go back to Wally's face with just the WTF arm spread made me laugh heartily. But yep. Later, when they all get back, Barry to Joe, I'm sorry you guys missed it. I ain't. Freaking down to earth, Joe. Man, I couldn't be more happy I stayed on the other side of that wall. Thanks. Good to have you back. And later, Cisco to Harry to HR. I'm sure he couldn't even remember an ATM code if he tried. It's just four digits. So many numbers.
Oh, man. When Harry's asleep and HR looks over after like realizing Jesse's going to live on Earth 1, he's like, he's going to be so pissed.
Oh, that smug-ass smile. He's going to be so pissed. He's like so proud of himself, too, when he does it. Yeah. I loved that. I did. I really did.
Oh, man, Bethany brought up a pretty good point, and you and I may have talked about it as well. I don't know. I've had a couple conversations about this. Mm-hmm. Or maybe she didn't, and I just thought it was her. Mm-hmm. But the bit where HR actually is talking to Jesse and says that he was sorry that he took her smile away or whatever, that was tearful stuff, man.
That was a rough line. It's like, I'm sorry I stole the smile off your face or something like that.
Yeah.
It was kind of one of those lines that's a little too poetic to actually be a thing someone says, but with HR, I mean, we're talking about a guy
aspiring writer.
Yeah, and a guy who like bids a good morning by doing this weird foppish like gesture thing. I don't know. It, with him, it somehow made sense.
I guess he's not even aspiring. He was hugely successful.
He's a published writer, I guess. Yeah. I want that pen. I want that pen hard.
But yeah, stuff like that. That's why we're willing to somewhat forgive the bad writing as well. sometimes.
Also, they just, I'm confused, but I do feel like they're going to fix it. Now, something I'm confused about, but I just don't think they're going to fix this one, and maybe it's just me. Why are Wally and Jesse so into each other? Like, why are they like, we're at like, I'm not complete without you, and you turn my world. When did that happen?
They're teenagers, man. They're teenagers.
All right. Yeah. You know what? I'll give it that. I did some stupid shit when I was a teenager.
Yeah. Jump back to like any old episode of anything where grown people are falling in love after the first, second meeting. Okay. Roll the eyes.
Yeah.
It's deserved. Here, though, I mean, roll the eyes. It's deserved, but it makes sense because they're teenagers.
I'll give it. They're teenagers. Even into your very early 20s, you're allowed to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, at the same time, they were talking for a while. I mean, over the course of a few months, at least.
Yeah.
And then they just stopped when he got powers, which, you know, dick move, dude, but whatever.
It was. You know, you got to keep in touch. You do.
It's called a text message, man.
All right. Well, I mean, I'll lay off that point, and we'll just have to wait on this whole, you know, gypsy thing.
Yeah, you'll lay off that point, but Jesse won't because she's moving to Earth 1. She's going to lay on that point.
Damn straight. Again, teenagers.
Yep. They got those hormones, man.
They got those hormones.
Though it seems like they're both speedsters. It's going to be incredibly unsatisfying.
That would be a hilarious little joke. Like, you just see a flash. Like, you just see, like, papers ruffle, and then they're standing there, but they both look slightly flush. Like, what just happened? Nothing? Why? What? Like, they're just in the middle of one of the, like, team meetings. You just see, like, they've apparently run to a storage room, made it hot and heavy real quick, come back, and they're both, like, just slightly ruffled and a little more satisfied. In the time it took everyone to turn their head and go, what the hell?
One of them is more a little more satisfied. The other one's a little more frustrated. Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are DC On Screen. You can find every episode at DCOnScreen.com. Proud members of the Giant Size Team Up Network. GiantSizeTeamUp.com. We're going to be coming right back with the Legends of Tomorrow Camelot 3000 review. Until that time, keep some DC on your screen.